Alright, we're gonna go from physical health to emotional and mental health. Well, we're gonna try.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll make an attempt.
It's that time of day where Patrick Doyle comes in and sits down and the whole world tunes in. Amazing how many people like you. I'm starting to get a complex. Don't forget, folks, I'm in the studio, too. I probably need counseling for it. Anyway,
well, you get it every week at 8:30.
Patrick Doyle here, local area counselor, 776-5368, the number to talk to him on the air. You can remain anonymous. We'll respect that request. And then get a pencil and paper. We'll give you the number to his office a little bit later on. But for the studio now is 776-5368. So you had quite an experience last week.
I did. You know, many folks may recognize that I wasn't on last week.
Yeah. So you,
I wasn't here because Monday night I was at the ER with my youngest son, Elijah, who is 8. And he had been having – the previous weekend was our church family camp.
Ah.
So I drove our camper up on Wednesday and and set it up. And my wife and kids stayed up there Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That was the plan. Well, Friday I was supposed to go up and bring more stuff and, you know, get ready to camp for the weekend. And I got a call from my wife saying that my youngest son Elijah had been feeling ill and that he had thrown up and he wasn't doing well. And lo and behold, guess what? I started feeling ill.
Really?
Friday. I kind of struggled through my day Friday. And so I decided that I would bring him home and he and I would just stay home and my older son, Caleb, and my wife, Catherine, could stay up in camp. And if we felt better Saturday, we'd come on up. But long story short, we end up in the ER Monday night because my son had been having some pretty severe stomach pain. And he had vomited a couple times, but the stomach pain was pretty consistent. And it was the kind of pain where he was like moaning and it was high level pain. Like he would say it was like a 7 out of 10, you know, that's what he described it as. So finally Monday, we decided to take him into the hospital at the urgence of his doctor. And, so we get in there and on the way to the hospital, I called somebody in my home group and said, "Hey, we're on the way to the hospital, and I just wondered if you guys could pray for us. We don't know what's going on. We don't think it's anything really that serious, but, you know, we appreciate some prayer." So we get there, and we go through the whole thing and get signed in, get back to the little room, and get this procedure started. He gets an IV, and, you know, that was a little bit of a tussle.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, actually, I shouldn't say that. He was amazingly calm through the whole thing. So anyway, after about 45 minutes, I'm like, you know, and in the meantime, I got to tell you, my phone rang three times from people that are in my home group. And my wife's phone rang a couple times from other people in our church. And I'm like, why are all these people suddenly calling? Yeah. So finally, about 45 minutes, I said, "I'm going to go out in the lobby." I go out in the lobby, and there's 4 people sitting there. 2 people from my home group, an elder from my church, Brian Phelps, who's one of my good friends, and one of the pastors, Jim, is sitting in the waiting room of the ER at, like, you know, what, 8 o'clock at night? And when I'm walking out there, what's going through my head is, did somebody get hurt?
Really? Oh, and they were there for you.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's body ministry at its best.
Exactly, and I was just dumbfounded. I was overwhelmed that these people would come down to the hospital. It's nothing. I mean, I didn't see it as serious. So I'll catch up with the story in a minute, but I want to explain something that I think
I heard about it. I didn't come down. Well, no, I heard it the day later.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I went down there. You weren't there.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem.
you know, what happened was it really started me thinking. And they stayed and they were very, and then some of them went to the store, a couple of them went to the store and bought Gatorade and all the things, Maalox, all those things the doctor recommended that he have. Mm. They didn't buy just one kind of Gatorade. They bought 3 kinds of Gatorade and, you know, they bought a big balloon for my son. That's, you know, it just stuff that no one asked them to do. No one was making them do, but man, they were doing it and they were doing it. It wasn't, you know, the least we can do. It was the most we can do. And I, so the next morning I'm sitting at my desk and I'm feeling like I need to say thank you. So I sit down and start writing an email and I start to think about this whole process. And really, I believe God sort of revealed something to me that's really, I think, apparent a problem in the church. It's a problem. It was obviously a problem for me. And I just wanted to bring this up because I think a lot of people struggle with this. And so I'm sitting there writing the email, and one of the things I start to realize is that, look, I'm a guy, I say this in the email, you know, I'm a guy who doesn't understand about family. I have basically one family member out of all my family that I even have a relationship with. So in my family, there was never a rallying point. You know, people were sick, things were bad. No one ever showed up. No one ever even knew. You don't say anything. Mm-hmm. You don't tell people. So it was like, it was a weird thing for me to make the phone call and tell somebody we were going to the hospital. That is not something I would normally do. I would normally just handle it because that's what I was told to do. That's what I was brought up to do in my family. You don't ask for help. You just go. Take care of it. And so I'm sitting there writing an email, and I realize I don't really understand how this works. This is not something I've been used to. And so I'm writing the email, and I'm like, you know, explaining this, that I'm a guy who doesn't understand how to do this. I don't know how to accept love. And so I'm sitting there in the ER that night, and I'm confused because I'm confused. Do I owe them something, or are they doing this because, I mean, I went through all those questions, and what I realized in retrospect was that they genuinely love me. I can't understand why, but I mean, I know it's God, but that's hard for me to accept. It's hard for me to accept that people love me without any condition. So I was really struck by that. And so I'm writing the email, and there's one line that God gave me that I finished the email with, kind of, and it was this. I am just an old self-reliant fool. And I don't know how to accept love. It's one of the things that I struggle with. And I think it's epidemic in the church. Because many of us grow up in families where accepting love wasn't something you did. You earned it. And it wasn't necessarily a, you know, somebody sat down with you and said, now to get love in this family, you have to do this, this, and this, and this. But man, it was apparent. You know, if you were successful at something, then you got praise. There was this idea of unconditional love is only from God. And so I can't think about it. If I have a hard time accepting love from my brothers and sisters, do you think I might have a hard time accepting it from him?
Yeah.
And I think this issue of accepting love, the true gospel love, is really kind of epidemic in our self-sufficient, self-reliant culture.
I never thought I'd have you sitting on my couch.
here we are.
Let's reverse roles here. Why can't you accept love?
Well, I believe real strongly that for me, and I believe for a lot of people, what it is that, you know, I never had the experience of anybody loving me. I had the experience of people abusing me, people abandoning me, people hurting me.
So do you feel unworthy of love?
Absolutely. That's what those things left me with, was this message in my head that I don't matter, that I'm not worth it, that I'm not good enough. And God has been working on this in layers for years. And this past Monday was another layer peel, where he peeled another layer of it off as I'm sitting there in the ER looking him in the face five times over and going, wow, God, you really – and here's the bottom line. Those people were vessels. Here's the big scary thing. You, God, really do love me, and you're right here with me, and you're using these people as your hands and feet. And that is what the body's about. But if I never reach out, they would have never had the chance to come. I had to take the risk.
Boy, there's so much in this because so many people do feel unworthy.
Absolutely.
You have to ask the question. This probably has no theological base to it, so let me just give that up. So before I get a million emails from pastors, please roll with me here. But you have to ask the question, have they fully accepted God's grace? Mm-hmm. When they accepted him as Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because how can you accept him as Savior and not accept his love?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that you're right onto something, Perry. I think what I have discovered in my work, with the privilege I've had to work with many people, is that most people really don't really understand the gospel.
The gospel of love.
The gospel, period.
Okay.
And I'll qualify that with this.
Yeah, please.
So when God looks at you, what does he see? Does he see a failure? Does he see somebody who's struggling? Does he see somebody who needs to get things together? No. When God looks at you, what he sees is something absolutely beautiful. Himself. If he didn't, you'd be in serious trouble.
All right, Mr. Counselor. Why are you having such a hard time with that if you know that?
I know it. And this is exactly what I'm trying to get to, is that while I know it intellectually, and this comes to something I said many times before, we have two views of God, I believe. One is an intellectual view, and the other is a functional view. So intellectually, I know the theology. I know what the scripture says. I know what the Sunday school answer is. But in my heart, I have doubt. And this is God's process of sanctifying me, bringing me more into his likeness, and bringing me in more in line with what his beliefs are, so that they're really truly mine. They're just not intellectual assents. And when the difficulty comes, that's what reveals me. The difficulty reveals what's really in my heart, not my words. Right. What I do does.
You tweak some people out here. hi, Jim. What's on your mind with this?
Ah, good morning, Perry. Good morning, Patrick. I'm glad to hear your voice better.
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, you said something, and you really just, you pretty much made the point I was going to make, and that is that Perry says, how can you truly accept the love of God if you don't accept the love of God? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the reality is, it is a process.
Right.
It has, you know, you well know it has been that for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know what it's like. You know, we have some common threads in our background of the abuse and so on, and it's hard to unlearn what your family and your background has taught you.
Right.
And it takes a lifetime to get that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that happens overnight. And I think it's important to recognize when you're going through these sorts of things and you realize those sort of things, there's a tendency or temptation to say, I'm not doing this well. I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
God's not happy with me because I'm not getting the whole unconditional love thing very well. And I think that it's important to recognize, no, you know, God is very patient and long-suffering with us.
Absolutely.
And the whole thing is a process, and that's exactly why he does these things
mm-hmm.
to us.
That's right. To reveal himself. That's ultimately the goal.
Exactly, and to deepen that relationship. And I
yeah.
think that mm-hmm. that it's important when people go through these things and they get these aha moments,
mm-hmm.
That it's important they recognize, no, mm-hmm. the purpose of this is not to beat themselves up.
Right.
But to recognize just exactly the depth of that love mm-hmm. and move forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very encouraging.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
You bet.
Good stuff. you know, it's amazing to me, and you get it more than I do, but I've mm-hmm. seen it, and that is that why is it so hard for us to translate what we preach and supposedly believe into reality, and
mm-hmm.
that is that God does love us.
Mm-hmm.
We make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's pretty clear about that. Repent.
Right.
Move on.
Right.
Good guy gets knocked down 7 days. You know, it's not a sin to get knocked down. It's a criminal to lie there. Get up and
yeah,
get going.
Right. Yeah.
You know, keep moving.
One of my favorite proverbs.
Man, I'm looking.
Keep getting up.
You know, I look at mistakes every day and I go, man, you know, if I kept track of that.
we need a bigger hard drive.
Well, not only that, but I mean, let's just quit now. I mean,
yeah.
turn this into our, like I said yesterday, our, you know, a Hawaiian rap music station and forget it.
I'm disqualified. Is there such a thing?
Well, we'll invent it. But I'm disqualified from sitting behind the mic every day if I didn't repent.
Yeah. Well, and see that.
And therefore, in repentance, you're accepting God's love.
Well, yeah, and here's the deal. God is made strong, not in my strength, but in my weakness.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
And so here's the deal. When I take the risk and I become vulnerable with my brothers and sisters, that is evidence that I am trusting in God's love. I didn't realize it, but now I do. That was an evidence of God building himself into me to the point where I'm not going to be self-reliant anymore. I'm going to take the risk. And it always is a risk. I'm sorry, folks, because sometimes people don't respond very well. I have had that experience. But it doesn't keep me from taking the risk because ultimately God is in charge, not me. And I have great confidence in his goodness, not in mine.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Hi, Rick. You want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I do. The E word comes to mind, and I started out my Christian upbringing in a non-emotional church, so to speak. But this has got to be emotional. You got to feel this. And I know it's not the warm, fuzzy feeling stuff.
Right.
But you got to feel this stuff deep down inside in the heart where God works. And if you've been taught like I was, oh, no, you can't be emotional about this. You can't feel this. That's nuts.
You
got to put some feelings into it. Otherwise, why would those people show up at the hospital?
Well, yeah, remember this, Rick, that God created,
exactly,
emotions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He did.
So why try to pull them out? And anyway, that's kind of just, I wanted to throw that in. But
cool.
You got to feel this. You know, that's part of the learning process, too. And,
absolutely.
And I understand, Patrick, where you were. I was there, too. I didn't understand God's love. I
right.
knew it, you know, in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the 18-inch transfer is happening. Yeah.
It's an ongoing,
thanks, guys.
It's an ongoing thing, Rick. Thanks.
All right. Let's go to... Hi, Linda. You got some thoughts on this?
Good morning. Yeah,
good morning.
I just think that everything you said is true, but I think it comes down to making choices every moment of every day. Believe the truth that is the Word and that love that comes from Christ versus all the other junk that tries to dwell in our mind.
Right.
And when we make a wrong choice, the next minute we've got to turn it around and make a right choice.
Right. I think one of the things that helps me, Linda, is that I continually on a daily basis rehearse the gospel to myself, the truth of the gospel, the truth of what God has done on my behalf. And it really helps me. I've often said it, that the gospel is not for other people. It's for me.
Well, and
I'm in need of it.
He filters. When you said that, what does he see when he looks at us?
Right.
He sees us in the blood of the Lamb.
Right, which is perfection.
Which is perfection, but it is because we are filtered by him. So we judge ourselves without that filter, and he does not.
Right.
So
right.
Just that whole...
Good stuff. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
You
Bye.
Bet.
Bye.
So let me try to, we don't lose some time here. So there you are. You made the call.
Yep.
You're over at the hospital with your son.
Mm-hmm.
You come out in the waiting room, and the body shows up.
Yep.
You go, whoa. This is for me? No, it must be somebody else here.
Yeah, right.
This is for me.
Uh-huh.
And so now you're trying to be gentlemanly, and then you respond back and say thanks for coming. I think that, you know, if 2 Corinthians 13, where it talks, you know, the love chapter.
Right.
And love keeps no records.
That's right. Thank God for that.
Okay. So you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can, you return it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But don't turn this into a ledger obligation.
Absolutely. And I tell you from my personal experience, I have been in the hospital many times for other people. And I don't feel for one second that was in the motive of any of those people.
Right.
I've been in situations where I did feel that it was.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right, Perry, from God's perspective, you give with no
no attachment.
No attachment. It's just pure love.
Yeah.
That's right.
Janet, what do you think of this?
More than you realize. I was struck with a catastrophic illness several years ago and ended up on life support 3 times.
Wow.
When I came out of life support, in the meantime, you know, I mean, this is in and out of hospital and nursing home and whatever.
Sure.
And when I came out of life support the 3rd time, the Lord used my pastor to reveal so many different things. But the one thing he did reveal was absolute, positive, unconditional love. I was 45 years old. I had never felt that from my parents, from my husband, from my children, relatives, friends.
Mm-hmm.
And these were close friends.
Yeah, probably good people.
But never once, never once had I felt unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Wow. There's only one source of it, Janet. And that's God himself. Sometimes he does use others to reveal that to us, but he ultimately is the source.
Oh, of course.
And
oh, no, of course. it came directly from him.
Right, exactly.
That he used my pastor.
Absolutely.
Because out of everyone that I had known, my pastors and his wife were probably the only ones I could have placed my trust.
Right.
If it hadn't been for them, I would have died.
Wow. That is an awesome testimony, Janet.
Thank you, Janet.
Thanks
for sharing that.
So the other reason I bring this up here is because, you know, I often am critical of the church. And the reason I say that I'm critical is because I believe that if you're not willing to wash the dirt off the feet, you don't have the right to point it out. And I every day spend my day trying to wash the feet of the church. I love the church deeply. That's why sometimes I am critical, because it's necessary. On the other hand, I also want to talk about what's right with the church. What Janet just talked about, great, great testimony of what's right with the church. What happened to me? It's there. It's happening. It's,
you know,
it's just not the bulk of what's happening.
We had a year in our family that was horrific, where we literally were in a hospital for a year between two separate incidents.
Right.
And the outpouring from literally around the world.
Mm.
Now, I'm a very public person.
Yeah.
By nature of what I do.
Right.
And so when the word got out of the problems that our family members were having, I was shocked. When we got done with one incident, we literally had a box of emails and letters.
Wow. That is great.
From around the world.
Mm-hmm. And anybody who says it doesn't mean anything is not paying attention.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to, hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Great.
I just wanted to say, Patrick, I'm glad to hear that your son's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
One of the things that I struggle with, and I can really identify with a lot of the things that you were saying, is I come from a background of physical and verbal abuse from my parents. And it's hard to accept the unconditional love of God, who, you know, is intangible and ethereal. When I got abused like that from my parents that were there, and you know, so it's really something I've struggled with.
Yeah, and that's absolutely a struggle, Steve, for sure. But, you know, the truth is, without God revealing himself to you and etching himself into your heart, you're going to stay stuck in that pattern of abuse. And he's on his way. If you can identify that, to me, that's evidence that he's already on his way.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, like Perry said before, don't, when you fall down, don't stay there. Just keep getting up, man. God is faithful, and he is going to bring you into intimacy with him, if not now, for sure when you die.
Amen to that.
All right.
So that's our hope.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for sharing, Steve.
Okay, you've hit a nerve with this one. Doesn't surprise me. That's why you're more popular than me. That's why I need counseling. I'm having a complex here. Is it
Jana?
Jana. Is it Jana?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I couldn't see the J. Sorry. Hi, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would just like to point something out. You guys spoke of having the Lord really reveal himself in love through the body during crisis times.
Right.
And I want to encourage everyone out there, because I've been through my crisis times and I've had the Lord reveal himself through the body, that we need to not fear and avoid crisis times, because that's the Lord's opportunity to show himself.
Wow.
And
that's true.
His opportunity for us as a body to do something and to feel constructive.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right,
you know, too many of us, and I'm guilty of it in my past life, avoiding it like plague. But it's God's furnace for purifying, but
that's
it's
right.
Also his opportunity for ministry, and we should rejoice always.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Janet. That is so important, that we shouldn't run from the difficulty. And it is a problem in the church. It's one of the things that I have heard many times over my years of counseling, is that when the difficulty came, everybody fled.
Yeah.
And the person was left standing there holding the bag by themselves.
Thank you, Janet.
All right.
Let me just say something here on the flip side of this, because I think it's important. I have learned, when things are falling apart,
And they do occasionally.
And they do occasionally, yes. And the bottom falls out. You have a choice at that moment to do one of two things. You can succumb to the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can literally give your way out of the problem.
Mm.
And I don't mean money.
Right.
And that could be the case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've learned that when the bottom falls out, mm-hmm. I'll leave my office and go minister to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Look for an opportunity.
I'll get out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It drives me crazy. The walls are caving in. This isn't flying right. I think God did not call the right guy to lead this ministry. You know.
So and he's gone on a break.
He's gone on a break. So I get on the phone, I call people, and encourage them. You know, and I've learned to give. And I want to say to somebody, if you know somebody that went to the hospital, if you know somebody that's sick, and you know somebody that's down, you know somebody that's hurting, mm-hmm. and you're having a bad day,
mm-hmm.
you got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can live under your problem or right. go give yourself to somebody else.
Right.
And those guys sitting in that waiting room, giving of their time and themselves to you, let me tell you, Patrick, mm-hmm. they went home more fulfilled than you did.
Probably. Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to believe, but I imagine they probably did.
Yeah.
But it's so...
Just go sit in the ER room for about 2 hours, and you'll go home and kiss your wall.
Yeah, and when you think there might be something wrong with your son, you know,
yeah.
it starts your mind thinking in ways you don't normally think. And it brings things into sharp focus, what's really important, what really isn't important. And those are very important times. And I'm so grateful that God has chosen to do it this way, to use other believers as instruments of his hand, to reveal his face and his love.
So what'd you learn?
I learned that there's no one to trust but God, and the best way to go is to let people know what you're doing, what you're feeling, how you're doing, and let God be the one who delivers the care and not try to do it yourself. Don't be an old self-reliant fool.
And body life has value.
It's imperative.
Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of
right.
yourselves together.
And we're to bear one another's
burdens.
Let me
tell you something. Yeah, I want to tell you something, folks. God designed certain things to happen in the church that will happen nowhere else but
mm-hmm.
in a church.
I agree.
Yeah, what do you know? I got the tables turned around today. This is my day. You can call me. No, don't do that. Call Patrick at 301-55. 301-55, and that's the number to his office. Thanks, buddy.
See you
next weekend.
All right, bye.